open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Rebel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Well, more news from Berea. It doesn't stop, but that's the time of year this is. The Browns have a kicker. Well, they have one kicker. I'm sure there are going to be more added as they go forward because right now they did not have any. They were down to zero after Phil Dawson ends up with the San Francisco 49ers, but they added a guy named Brandon Bogate today, and he's a guy who's not played in the league. University of Georgia from 2009 to 2011. Appeared in 14 games while kicking behind the Minnesota Vikings kicker, Blair Walsh, who was a rookie last year and voted to the NFC Pro Bowl squad. So good pedigree, I guess, among kickers at Georgia. And interesting to see that he comes aboard. He's someone who, let's face it, the first addition to the kicking grid, because I think when all is said and done, we're going to see a few guys. And keep in mind, years ago, 1999, exactly, when Phil Dawson was brought aboard, he was Phil who then? He was Phil Castoff then, and then he became Phil, the great kicker for the Browns. And maybe we'll see this same thing unfold for Bogate. Get used to hearing that name, at least between now and we get into training camp, and we'll see what the kicking competition is all about. I think that's going to be actually exciting to see the kicking competition, to sort of see who will pan out at a spot where you knew, where eventually you knew where it was going to pan out. Other moves by the Browns today, they parted ways with linebacker Chris Gokong officially and safety Usama Young, said goodbye to both of those guys. Of course, Gokong missed all of last year, had the Achilles injury. Young had come in as a unrestricted free agent in 2011 and spent the past two seasons playing 29 games, 19 starts. So that happens on the elimination side. And then on the extension side, you've got wide receiver Jordan Norwood and long snapper Christian Yount getting tenders as exclusive rights players today. And when I say, I mean extension, they've gotten those offers that allow them to remain with the team because they've got the exclusive rights tenders, meaning that a team that's going to try to sign them would have to give up something to do so. And in all likelihood, that means Jordan Norwood and Christian Yount remain. And I think Jordan Norwood is a good idea because I think he represents the slot type of that smaller slot guy that fits into what North Turner has in his offense. Like those bigger guys on the outside, the taller guys on the outside, and he certainly has somebody like that in Josh Gordon, and two people like that in Josh Gordon and Greg Little, the taller, bigger types of athletes, and then those smaller guys in the slot position. So we'll see again where this goes, but as far as Norwood being able to get some sustained run in this new scheme, I think it'll be interesting. And Travis Benjamin, of course, would be another guy you would think would be in competition there to show what he can do as a speedy slot guy, but his primary thing is going to be returning kicks. We know that. Christian Yount proving to be a reliable long snapper for this team. Reliability at the long snapper position came back after an absence in 2011. We know all about that. Your questions and comments, you submit them to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, and we go through those and answer as many of them as we can. And you email, by the way, to us daily at clevelandbrowns.com. Greg from email says, "Hey, Vic, first, let's forget about the Browns trading down in the draft. Someone has to be willing to trade up. Let's deal with the cards we are being dealt. So if D. Milner, Deion Jordan, or Ziggy Ansah are off the board, who do the Browns draft?" And he mentions other names like Mango and Jones. These are impressive pass rushers. I do tend to agree with you with the names you bring up here. That you know those are pretty good guys. Guys that I think can make an impact and that you wouldn't feel Barcavius Mingo, the outside linebacker from LSU, you wouldn't feel too bad about bringing him in as a, when I say too bad about, you'd feel really good about as a sixth overall pick, edge rusher. And I think edge rusher is the spot I could still see this team going. I mean, I know there is a lot of feeling, conventional wisdom, it's D. Milner, get the corner, and it has to be him, if he's there. And number one, we don't know if he's going to be there. Number two, again, I'm thinking that bringing in that other guy that forces offenses to change what they do to deal with him, much the way that I think Paul Kruger is going to force the issue from his side of the defense, I think that's another way to go. You bring up Jarvis Jones from Georgia. You know, I'm not as – I don't know. I don't know if I'm as thrilled with him as I am with some of the other names you mentioned, again, particularly Jordan. Doesn't mean that he wouldn't be someone to consider, but I'm not as sure about him as maybe you and others are. And you mentioned Ziggy Ansah. He's an intriguing guy. Is that too high up in the draft for him to go? And some may argue that. Some of those who are assessing the draft may argue that. All right. In a couple of minutes, I tell you who's going to be on the show tonight? I bet I didn't. Tom Withers from the Associated Press covers the Bills. You know he's outstanding. And then because he's up on this team, and we'll get into his big picture thoughts on what the Browns have been doing this offseason. And Steve Wyche from NFL Network, NFL.com, one of the co-hosts of NFL AM on NFL Network. If you've checked that out, it's a great show. So we'll get some national perspective on the Browns from Steve Wyche. Tom Withers, Steve Wyche with us. Now you can start the music, Dino. start that music. Yes, very nice. The Lallman Brothers on a Football Tuesday. Vic Carucci with you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 W at KNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Drives down the lane.
March is different. Why? That's why. So get some Bud Lights and hold on. There's no rationality, predictability, and monotony in March. Nope, there's none of this. But a whole lot of this.
Game's on the line. 3, 2, 1.
And people get dunked on like...
What? Oh, no!
Yeah, because March breaks more hearts than February and fools more people than April. And for 31 days, it gets... March is nuts, but it's amazing. And we're all fans. Your best friend? Your pool cleaner? Aunt Shirley.
Woo-woo!
Anyone willing to travel halfway across the country, a giant cardboard face poster in one hand, Bud Light in the other. Only in March. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle with OnStar, you've got a powerful connection to help wherever you go, but only if your service is active. So we're giving you a chance to test drive it for 3 months at no cost, contract, or obligation. Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 months on us. If you're lost, stranded, or need help, we'll be there. Offer good on 2006 or newer digitally equipped GM models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage maps, details, and system limitations.
Why having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm.
Ooh, sorry I dented your car.
No worries. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Maggie. State Farm's here to help.
Wait,
I don't have State Farm, but my insurance helped me now.
A carrier pigeon.
Where'd that come from?
Look at all that paperwork around its neck.
I don't want the form.
Do you need a pen?
No pen. Oh. I don't want to fill those out.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. Find an agent at statefarm.com for help anytime, anywhere. That's getting to a better state.
Football Tuesday, Victor Ritchie with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Browns fans unite. Season tickets, they're on sale now. Be part of the tradition of Cleveland Browns football live at First Energy Stadium. Great seat locations are open in the general seating bowl and club level. For more information on new Browns season tickets, visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. And this segment, it is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. With us now on the Rebel Wireless Hotline is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, I hope you and your family had a great holiday weekend.
We did, Vic. I hope yours did as well.
Thank you, man, and glad to have you with us. It's been a little bit, but want to get into what this Browns team did through the offseason so far, the most recent addition being Jason Campbell at quarterback, but the most recent subtraction being Colt McCoy going to San Francisco, and definitely a connection between those two moves. But how this, I think, puts the quarterback picture for this football team.
Yeah, you know, once again, the quarterback carousel is moving in Cleveland. When does it ever stop, Vic?
But
I think we all saw this coming with Colt McCoy. Frankly, I was a little surprised that it didn't happen last year. I think the Browns probably looked for a trading partner at one point for Colt, and we're unable to find one. But I think it's a real win-win for everybody if you look at it. I mean, you know, for McCoy, he gets a chance for a fresh start out in San Francisco, a team that, you know, obviously is right on the doorstep of possibly winning a Super Bowl. They certainly were last year. And he gets to start to, you know, jumpstart his career. So good for Colt. And, you know, he did a lot here in terms of, you know, was a good guy, a good locker room guy, you know, gave it all that he had on the field. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us are probably going to remember the James Harrison hit as a defining moment of Colt McCoy's career. But he also, you know, during 2011, engineered a couple of comebacks. I still think there's a pretty wide, you know, spectrum of fans out there who believe that Colt McCoy didn't get a fair chance with this organization, and you could probably make a pretty compelling argument to support that. So, once again, the Browns are discarding quarterbacks and bringing in new ones.
Yeah, that is probably as much as anything else. It's a great point to make on why a team is still trying to find consistency and success, and I think it's two areas. Have the right quarterback is the number one area, but have the head coach also in place for long enough, and it tends to work out that when you don't have one of those things, the quarterback thing, the head coach thing tends to change as well. So the Browns looking to get some traction here, finally, from what they have with Brandon Whedon, if they can get it there. But to go back to Colt, you know, I think you're right that he's got tremendous popularity. People love him, I think, from a personal standpoint. They see the toughness. They see the guy who works hard to overachieve. They see a guy who defied some odds as a rookie back in 2010 when he got out there and had some exciting performances. And as you say, people wanting to see more of Colt, wanting more of a guy who to get greater opportunity. But I just think, again, it's not, and I say this just in the context of a football view, that there were limitations to what he brings to the table, and I think that's what became so evident to me really in 2011.
I'm with you, Vic. I mean, none of us thought, first of all, that Colt would be on the field in 2010, and had it not been, you know, for the injuries to Delhomme and Wallace, we might not have seen Colt McCoy on the field in 2010. And then 2011, you know, he did some really nice things out there. There were some moments where you thought, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the guy for the future. Maybe this is the quarterback that can take this team to the next level. But then, you know, obviously once Brandon Whedon was selected, and then I think for any of us who would watch Brandon Whedon and Colt McCoy throw side by side on a daily basis, it was pretty obvious that there was a big physical gap between the two, and particularly when you had an offense that you were going to try to run like that. And, you know, when you stack up McCoy's numbers against Whedon's, they're comparable, but there were also some other things taking place that make those numbers not necessarily line up. You know, he had different offensive systems. I do feel bad for McCoy, too, in that, you know, part of me thought that had they supported him with, you know, better wide receivers and more weapons and maybe a different running game or what have you. You know, he could have been a successful quarterback, but that didn't happen. And then once they decided to make the draft pick with Whedon, you know, obviously his time was shortened here. And then, you know, clearly last week when the Browns went out and signed a dependable veteran in Jason Campbell, well, you know, that was certainly the end of Colt McCoy's tenure here.
Yeah, and they've made it pretty clear, Joe Banner has at least, that it is Brandon Whedon who gets the shot mm-hmm. here to win the starting job. Again, I think no one is saying, and they're trying to position this in a way that, hey, he still has to earn this, he has to compete for this, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. As this team begins its off-season program, and I think from the minute he set foot in the building yesterday, I think it was clear to him that, okay, I've got to show that I'm all aboard and I'm going to win this job, and I'm going to show these guys how right. I'm going to do it. So it's classroom stuff now, and then when they get on the field in a couple of weeks, you'll have to demonstrate it there. But as you look at the competition and Jason Campbell 71 starts, I mean, I just wonder how that's going to look when you talked about the side-by-side throwing of Whedon and McCoy and the dramatic difference there. But now it's Whedon and another big guy with a strong arm.
No kidding. Yeah, a guy who can not only look him in the eye, but then can throw that 15-yard out just as well as he can. So, and maybe this is as it should be, right, Vic? I mean, maybe this is what the Browns should have done last year, is bring in somebody of this caliber to press Brandon Whedon instead of saying, yeah, it's your job and you just got to hold on to it. Now he comes into camp with the thinking that, hey, I got somebody right on my rear end here, and not only is he, you know, as good physically as I am, he's made 71 career starts, which is like four times what I've made. So, yeah, this puts Brandon Whedon on guard, and I think that's a good thing. You know, competition is a great thing. We all like to be pushed. You know, you want to be challenged, and I think that's a smart thing for the Browns to do. And, you know, we've also seen, I don't know how many times over the last 10 to 14 years, Vic, where, you know, injuries pop up and suddenly number two is number one, or in some cases number three is number one. Right. So, you know, it's great to have that depth at that position. And I think in signing Campbell, the Browns have really upgraded the depth at that position.
Yeah, and you're right about this. It's a competition can only bring out the best. I don't think that Brandon Whedon came in with a cavalier attitude or necessarily laissez-faire. You know, I don't think he was here last year saying, I don't have to work at this, but it still matters when you know, when you have it in the deep recesses of your mind, that you've got to show something, that there is an expectation of people now that are judging you, that didn't draft you, and you have to sell yourself to them. You have to make them know that you're legit as a starter, and the other part of this is make them see that, okay, whatever this guy does with the 71 starts, here's what I have to offer, here's why I'm in this position and why I just came into this league as a first rounder last year.
Exactly.
And go about every day, every practice, every meeting, every interaction with coaches with that in mind.
And I think, you know, I think getting to know Brandon a little bit last year, Vic, I do think that he does have that spark inside of him. I do think he has that will to want to be the best that he can be. And I mean, let's not forget, you know, this guy from now until his last day in the NFL is going to be judged against this unbelievable once-in-a-generation quarterback class that just came out last year. So, you know, if you can't be motivated by that, then, you know, I don't know what I can do for you. But I do think, knowing Whedon a little bit as I do, is that he wants to be better. He wants to be great. He wants to show that he belongs in the company of that class with Luck and Griffin and Tannehill and right on down the line, Wilson. So, you know, I think this is good for him. I think this is good for, you know, and it's good for the Browns. I think they're about to find out, is this the guy or isn't he? And, you know, if you go through a year where you all of a sudden decide early on that Brandon Whedon is not going to be our guy, well, now you've got the guy in the number two chair who can slide right in. You know, I don't think any of us wants it to get to that point where then all of a sudden here we are in 2014 evaluating the rookie quarterback class.
Yeah.
But I think this is good for all parties. I really do.
Tom Weathers from the Associated Press joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, what does this mean to the draft? When you look at the Browns draft and you look at the options that they have at number six, and I think there are many, but now that you have what we look at their quarterback position mm-hmm. versus the league's picture at quarterback, and that one is changing by the day. I mean, just in the last 48 hours alone, we've seen some major shuffling where teams that we thought were going into this draft needing a starting quarterback suddenly have guys with experience. I don't know that they've solved issues, but you recognize the names, the most recent being Carson Palmer, now part of the Arizona Cardinals, who, of course, made – I think they've gotten rid of five quarterbacks since they had Kurt Warner there. I mean, just think about that one. And then Kevin Cobb, who had been one of their recent starters, is now in Buffalo, presuming he's going to start there. And then Matt Flynn goes from Seattle as a backup to now a starter in Oakland. So where does it leave in teams like Oakland, of course, picking ahead of the Browns, teams that could be looking at quarterback, but the Eagles too. Are they set and solid with Michael Vick? So that's a question mark. They're picking.
It is really revolving, isn't it?
It is, and now I wonder what we look at for number six for the Browns, because Mockers have Dee Milner going there, the corner from Alabama, or Deion Jordan going there, the defensive end from Oregon.
You know, it seems like Matt Flynn, by the way, has been with 10 teams since last year, doesn't it? I mean, it's just unbelievable. He was a name that was kicked around, you know, from pre-draft last year, free agency last year. So, anyway, this either complicates things or makes it a much clearer picture. I'm not sure which, Vic. There's obviously a great need for the Browns at cornerback, and I think there's no question that Milner appears to be the cream of the crop there. Whether he's still around at number six remains to be seen. I think another good thing yesterday in terms of the Browns and making that trade is that they acquired a couple of more assets, because who knows, maybe somebody then before them on the draft board falls in love with Milner and you find yourself in a situation where you may feel like you have to move up, and, you know, at least you might have a couple picks that you could package together if that, you know, needed to be the case. But boy, this kind of leaves it wide open, and I wonder too, you know, with the additions of, the offseason additions through free agency that the Browns made, you know, what that means in terms of this pick. You know, do they still need another outside rusher? Who's still available on the free agent market? They could, you know, be trying guys out right now, as far as I know. But here we are, 3 weeks away. I think it's pretty wide open, but if I would have to guess right now, I would think that Milner would be the target at number six. I don't think you can go wrong with a guy who played for 3 years with the top college program in the country and is clearly the best cornerback that you can put on the other side from Joe Hayden. Boy, that's something I think Browns fans could get very far behind.
I'm inclined to agree when I look at Milner and say, okay, he's the best corner in this draft. He might have that potential. But I'm also wondering if he's one of those guys that doesn't show you completely when you study all the tape, and I've heard this from other scouts around the league, that, you know, is there this total, complete, no question, shutdown corner in Dee Milner? I mean, I know there's a sense that he's the best of this crop, and corners are always at a premium. Is it more that than it might be the consistency of performance? And again, do you have that lockdown guy? Because to your other point, does it make sense for this team to get another pass rusher when you bring in a Paul Kruger via free agency, when you also have a Desmond Bryant on the defensive line, knowing he's a guy that's supposed to get you some push up front? See, when I look at Jabal Sheard and see him converting from defensive end to outside linebacker in this 3-4 scheme, I start to say, do you think you need somebody who's a little more of a definitive fit, edge rusher, both in terms of body type, and this is where I look at Deion Jordan, 6'6" and like 250. Is he really more that prototype? And I know scouts are raving about him, about all that he can do physically, and, you know, rare athleticism, the size, the speed, the loose hips. You hear all those buzz terms about him, and fluid. I don't know. You know, part of me says I wouldn't hate him coming aboard at number.
No, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. I think it's good too, Vic, is that this new coaching staff is going to get a chance to see Jabal Sheard on the field. I know, you know, they're pretty limited in what they can do now during this voluntary workout, you know, off-season conditioning program. But I believe there is a mini camp at least leading into the draft. So at least they'll have a chance to maybe, you know, look at it a little, you know, at least to see the guy on the field and say, okay, you know, we're set here and let's target this guy. I mean, the guy that I've been banging the drum about for a long time is the left guard from Alabama, is Chance Warmack, who, of all the guys I watched last year in college football, and I probably watch more college football than the NFL only because those Saturdays are free. I can watch college football as opposed to covering the Browns game on a Sunday. But Chance Warmack, to me, was the one guy who I thought played his position better than any player in college football last year. So, you know, while we think we might be set on that offensive line, boy, he's an intriguing guy as well. But I still come back to, in my mind, the greatest need right now is a cornerback to put on the other side of Joe Hayden, and Dean Milner is that guy.
Okay. Well, it will be interesting to see how this plays out and how it might change between now and draft day when we have
Don't hold your breath, man. It's going to change in the next hour for the way things are going these days in the NFL.
Exactly. We'll have more conversations about it. Tom, thank you so much.
Vic, anytime, bud.
He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He's joining us via the Rebel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
it just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak & Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent bread and boneless wings on Wednesday. Great time, great food. Get to Quaker Steak & Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Are you ready to make some big plays this season? Like growing your savings, buying a home, or even building a business? At First Merit Bank, we'd like to assist you with your goals, whatever they may be. So no matter what your next play is, we're ready to help you make it happen. It's your game plan. How can we help? First Merit Bank. You first. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's MTV's $24.99 Ready to Roll Oil Change. That means all the extras at no extra charge. Listen to what you get for just $24.99. Up to 6 quarts of Valvoline oil, a brand new filter, and free disposal of your old oil. Plus, we'll rotate your tires and reset your air pressure sensors. Then we'll check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and top off your fluid. The savings are incredible. For just $24.99, you get it all. Valvoline oil, a brand new filter, and free disposal of your old oil. Plus, we'll rotate your tires and reset your sensors. Then we'll check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and top off your fluid. Why would you change your oil anywhere else? At MTV, you're ready to roll. Drive in or schedule service at MTV.com. Local and state mandated tax and disposal fees extra. See store for details.
Hey guys, it's Hammer from The Really Big Show with big news about Golf Tech Brecksville opening on Monday, April 8th. It's located on Brecksville Road, right there in the Millside Shopping Center. And now there are 4 area Golf Tech locations in Northeast Ohio to serve you and help you improve your game. Get to their grand opening in Brecksville, April 8th for food, drinks, contests, and they've got prizes as well. Plus your chance to win a free lesson plan from Golf Tech. Locations East, West, Canton, and now in Brecksville. Get to golftech.com. That's GOLFTEC.com.
Are you tired of hearing the term guaranteed approval, guaranteed financing, or guaranteed credit? How about no hidden fees? Only to find out you need to win the lottery to be eligible for the so-called guarantee? Well, at Bob Gillingham Ford, the term guaranteed is what they refer to as to how you'll be treated. They guarantee you'll receive the 3 pillars of customer service: fair, honest, and open. That guarantee is the cornerstone that has allowed them to serve Northeast Ohio for over 56 years. Start your next car or truck buying experience at BobGillinghamFord.com. See their actual and true photographed inventory, like the stunning new 2013 Ford Fusion. From there, let them show you their guarantee of a truly great buying experience. Stop in and see them, 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma, or call 216-398-1300. That's BobGillinghamFord.com. They're looking forward to welcoming you to the home of the real deal, Bob Gillingham Ford.
It's now your chance to Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, this Football Tuesday edition. Your questions, comments that you've submitted to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages that we go after on this show, but they certainly, sometimes you come after us, which is a good thing. Let's see, follow us, of course, at Browns_Daily, the show's Twitter page, my Twitter page, at VICCARUCCI. David from email, he actually asked a two-part question last night, and I only got through part one, so I'm going to give David part two. And the second part of his question was, how do I feel about the Browns' offensive line? David, I'd say this. I think the O-line is in solid shape. And solid doesn't mean great, but it doesn't mean it's poor. And it means that I think with the presumptive second-year improvement at right tackle, with more experience than Mitchell Schwartz has, with the two other anchors being Joe Thomas and Alex Mack, I think the two guards, you can get by with them. You can get by with them. Now, getting by is not what you want to hear in a championship discussion or a discussion of how you build a championship team, but there's enough youth on the side and this presumes Jason Pinkston can come back from his blood clot. And, you know, I think that while you could add a guard somewhere along the line to fortify, I would not put that, and you heard Tom Withers say this. I mean, he's and understandably very impressed with a Chance Womack from Alabama, saying that guy would be the upgrade the Browns need at guard. And I don't think people would argue that Chance Womack's going to make whichever team he joins better at the interior offensive line position. But I think given where the other needs are, and I can't answer your question without saying this, I don't think, David, that so much needs still to fortify defense, edge rusher, as I was also talking about with Tom, so much need for a corner that I want those priorities handled first. And we'll see what else happens on the offense on the perimeter as well. But I think the O-line is I think you could win and get by with the O-line on the presumption that every other place we've talked about or has been addressed via free agency gets better and that the draft helps those areas get better too. Chris from email, he wonders why in the evaluation of Whedon that he's referred to constantly as only a rookie and that a quarterback of the sort of normal rookie age coming in, by the time he gets to be, quote, good, he'll be retired. And so why is he called a rookie? But, Chris, that's what he is and was last year. I mean, he's a second-year quarterback now. He was a rookie last year. And the age thing I know is for sure a hang-up for a lot of people still and probably always will be. And I think the problem the Browns would love to have is that he gets old while getting good. Does that make sense? He gets that his age will become an issue because that means he sustained some level of success to hold the job for this year and beyond. And then when 29 turns to mid 30s or whatever the age is that you start to say, okay, maybe this guy's getting too long in the tooth to be a quarterback, so to speak, that, you know, then you, okay, then it might be an issue. I'd say that would be a problem this team would love to have. If he makes a dramatic improvement and he demonstrates this year, perhaps beyond a shadow of a doubt, or at least reduces the shadows around the doubt, that you're going to be happy with that because it means something good is happening at that position. It means the offense is getting better. It means everything is moving in the direction that this team has counted on it moving with the hiring of Rob Chudzinski, the hiring of North Turner. Randy from email, speaking of Whedon, he says, I think Brandon has the desire and potential skills to be our elite NFL quarterback. Randy goes on to say, I really hope that he does work out for us. I didn't especially like him at first, and I didn't think that they gave Colt McCoy enough of a chance. But Brandon's won me over. I watched his interviews all last season, and I think he's a competitor. And he doesn't make excuses and accept the blame when he screwed up. And he knows he's not perfect and still has a lot to learn. Yeah, all of those things true. Now, this is a lengthy email, and it's a good one, but I can't read the whole thing. So I'll get to your concluding point. He says, if I were Brandon, I'd show up with a sleeping bag for these off-season workouts and not leave the facility until the season starts. That's a good line. I wanted to share that from David. He said, from Randy. And Randy says he's got to learn, but he has the best tutors in the world. The faster he learns, the more he'll learn. And just scrimmaging against our improved defense should teach him a lot. Well, yeah, when the on-field stuff begins, and I know that's what the coaches, all of us, are eager to see. Still a couple of weeks away from that. But this is valuable time, too, just what you said. And I've seen Brandon in the building, sans sleeping bag. He doesn't bring that. I think he's sleeping in his own bed. But I know your point, and I think he has arrived with the attitude. I mean, you can't look into someone's head, but you can look at their eyes, and you can talk with them, and you can get a feel for what they're bringing, the level of enthusiasm. And, you know, just the last couple of days, just watching lunch, which is what you're basically seeing. I'm not sitting in the meeting rooms that they're in or when they're in the weight training area working with Brad Roll, the strength and conditioning coach, because that's primarily what's going on now. But you get to see them, you know, in those circumstances. And what I find interesting about Brandon, about the other players and several that have been speaking to us, to Matt Florjancic, our staff writer, ClevelandBrowns.com, for pieces, stories that are appearing on the website this week about the beginning of this conditioning program, is that you see that determination. You see that enthusiasm. And the other thing you see, and this is like, it's like the first day of school or the first week of school now, where guys are coming in, new teachers, right? It's a new class, and a lot of things are new. There's a newness about the building with remodeling going on, not necessarily at the level they're on, although the weight room is being changed. I mean, a lot of new stuff's being brought in, and I think the players are feeling that sense of energy, of excitement, of that comes with newness, and that they're happy to be a part of it, excited to be a part of it. It just shows up in the demeanor and the look, and then you watch them sitting again with different coaches at lunch. You see Rob Chudzinski in there. You see Joe Banner in there. You see a lot of conversation going on, and I'll tell you, I'm not eavesdropping. I'm really not, but it's not idle chit-chat. It's really, you can sense that, as you would expect, these are football discussions, meaningful stuff. So I think, to your point, again, that this is the attitude, Randy, that Brandon Whedon has brought here. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. Going to have a conversation with Steve Weisch from NFL Network, NFL.com. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as you listen to ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great times, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Drives down the lane.
March is different. Why? That's why. So get some Bud Lights and hold on. There's no rationality, predictability, and monotony in March. Nope, there's none of this. But a whole lot of this.
Game's on the line. 3, 2, 1.
And people get go-zone like,
what?
Oh, no!
Yeah, because March breaks more hearts than February and fools more people than April. And for 31 days, it gets... March is nuts, but it's amazing. And we're all fans. Your best friend? Your pool cleaner? Aunt Shirley. Anyone willing to travel halfway across the country, a giant cardboard face poster in one hand, Bud Light in the other. Only in March. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Been to the Quarry? What a special world-class golf course. Folks, spectacular views. Minutes off I-77 in Canton, the amazing clubhouse and award-winning grill. Two more reasons the Quarry is a perfect place for your foursome, group, or event. Call them today, 330-488-3178. What a beautiful place for a wedding. That's 330-488-3178. Ask them about the VIP pass. Save you $15 every time you play. 330-488-3178. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Folks, if you want to save money on groceries, you got to check out Acme Fresh Markets. That's where I do all my shopping. Hi, gang, Riz here. And you know how Acme will save you money. Throughout the store, thousands of hot buys. Hot buys are always Acme's lowest prices. Weekly ad items, manufacturer price reductions, and in-store price reductions. Look for the hot buys in every department. If you're already an Acme customer, you've seen the savings. If you're not, give them a try. Acme Fresh Markets, 15 locations. Try one near you.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Revel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Appreciate the fact that you're hanging out with us on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here, and we are going to talk some national stuff. We're going to go back to the Revel Wireless Hotline for this segment, which is driven by Liberty Ford. Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is our good friend Steve Weish from NFL Network and NFL.com. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Vic, how's everything going?
Outstanding, my friend. It's been such a busy offseason here with the Browns, busy throughout the league. I want to start with the Browns and get your takes on what they've done this offseason. They have made some aggressive moves, as you know, on the defensive side of the ball, especially most recently, though, they trade Colt McCoy to the San Francisco 49ers. So that move was kind of expected. But give me your general take on what the Browns have done to this point.
Well, first of all, going to the Colt McCoy move, I think part of that goes to show it's a classy move by an organization. I mean, if he wasn't going to be part of their plan, they were able to trade him, you know, to get something for him, which helps out the organization. But, you know, they also traded him to a situation where he's going to have a chance, you know, to be a backup, to compete for a backup, and to a chance where, you know, he's going to be able to win. You know, and a lot of times, teams, you know, and I learned this years ago covering Jimmy Johnson in Miami, if you want to be seen as a class organization, you know, even if you get rid of players, you want to treat them right, do things in a timely fashion. And I think the fact that Colt was a competitor and handled some dicey situations, you know, professionally there, this new regime was able to trade him, get him to a good situation, shows some class. And hopefully, you know, we know Colt's a gamer. He'll fare well out in San Francisco.
Right.
In terms of some of the other moves they made, I like them. I mean, you know, they're switching to the 34 with Ray Horton to play it a certain way, and they went and got guys that fit. You know, the Kruger fit. Yeah, he might not have necessarily been a starter, but he fits what they want to do, you know, as a pass rusher. Some of the other moves they made fit what Ray Horton likes to do. They're going to be very aggressive. You know, you saw what he did in Arizona. They're going to get after anybody trying to throw the ball, and they're going to be aggressive up front. So, The moves were solid, and you know there's some strong pieces in place already there. So again, I think Cleveland is a team that you know they're not far off. You know, and I like also the acquisition of Jason Campbell, based on comments from Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi. It does look like it's Brandon Whedon's job to lose, but they basically came out and said, you know, hey, look, we're holding you to a standard. If you can't cut it, we got Jason Campbell here, and he's won some games in this league. So I think if you're a Browns fan, you're at least saying, you know what, we may have a ways to go, but the team is stacking itself in a way as to where it can compete. It's not a radical overhaul. It's not something where they're necessarily over-the-top big money free agent signings in terms of doing something that's going to handicap the team salary cap-wise. And I just think that the regime has been very prudent. And, you know, we'll see, but they've got a lot of pieces in place.
Steve, when you look at free agency throughout the league, the team that's made the biggest headlines, obviously the Miami Dolphins, for not only the quantity of the moves, but the names that they've brought in as well. But rather than just go to the obvious there, I'm wondering in your mind, who has some of the best individual fits with free agent pickups these past few weeks?
Well, Vic, I want to include some trades, you know, because I think Seattle, the move they made for Percy Harvin, sure they forfeited a first-round pick, but, you know, they probably feel they didn't need to necessarily use it. And Percy Harvin can supplant the first-round pick. He's become a matchup nightmare for every team in that division, which is now arguably the best division in football. That's going to help them take the next level. They signed Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett, pass-rushing defensive ends, what they need because Clements had a knee injury and can never have enough pass rushers. I think they're a team that's really done well. I think quietly the Detroit Lions, also in the NFC, have made a good move. You know, Reggie Bush, getting Glover Quinn, getting some guys who've won before. Jason Jones, not big splash names, but guys who've won. That's what an immature team in need of leadership probably needs to fit, you know, in the AFC. For some of the losses that the Ravens had, you have to like the fact that they got Elvis Dumas. And you know, they go out there and they address some of their needs. Michael Huff, he's a cover safety. He's not necessarily a big hitter, but he's a guy who can really run, and he can cover in the passing game. So, you know, I think there's some really good fits that we've seen. Another one, the New York Giants, very subtle, but getting Cullen Jenkins, the defensive tackle, who was okay in Philadelphia, but is a perfect fit for what Perry Fuel will like to do in that scheme. So I think we're seeing some of the smart teams get perfect fits for the system and free agency, which will allow them to draft accordingly when the draft gets here in 3 weeks.
Steve Weiss joining us from NFL Network via the Revel Wireless Hotline. You can catch him on a terrific show, NFL AM, on the network. You want to get up in the morning and get your jump on NFL news, that's the place to do it. Also, NFL.com, you can read his great stuff there as well. An appearance on your network late last week, I was watching Ryan Matthews, running back for the Chargers, and I found it interesting during the course of his interview, talking about the Chargers' problems last year, his own problems with not being so productive. Team was complacent. It was kind of a weird thing, the way he was going there and saying the routine or whatever, or it had become routine. But in the aftermath of that, to hear some comments or read some comments from Donald Butler, linebacker from the Chargers, Nick Hardwick, the veteran center, both challenging really those comments about the team being complacent, those comments from Ryan Matthews, and Butler going as far as to say that Matthews should speak for himself. Didn't seem like they were very happy with that. What was your take on that?
Yeah, well, first off, and the way Ryan Matthews said it, and I think you wish he had it back when it came out of his mouth, but I think what he was trying to say is that the message got stale. And we know that happens to some teams. We saw it happen in Philadelphia, you know, with Andy Reid, that even though some players and turnover, you know, may happen, the message, for whatever reason, got stale. And, you know, and to my point, or to Ryan Matthews, even though, you know, he said players got complacent, and the other guy said, hey, you know, speak for yourself, the Chargers did nothing on the field to make it look like they were really into it. I mean, all you have to do is go to one play which summarized their whole season. That's that 4th-and-29 that Ray Rice got against them that really kept Baltimore's playoff hopes alive. So, you know, again, maybe Ryan Matthews misspoke. Maybe he, I won't say misspoke, but maybe he worded, you know, things differently, trying not to offend, and clearly he did. But, you know, I think it was something where he said, look, players got tired of hearing what Norv had to say. They went out and they competed, but they probably, you know, weren't into it. Because the one thing he said to follow that up when they were complacent was, we kind of felt that when we took the field sometimes that we were just going to be gifted wins. So, you know, something you hear that guys might not have been as focused or guys might not have played as hard as they should have. Because he did say that Norv did everything he could to try to get them to win. And when you listen to everything in its entirety, you know, he puts a lot of the blame on the players, not necessarily on North Turner.
Yeah, and I think that was really the message that I think should have come out, or at least the sense of it, because you can, as a team, become complacent even if you've got a coaching staff that's pushing you very hard. And one thing I can tell you, and we both know North Turner well, he pushes, he grinds. I mean, you talk about a guy who challenges, and I know he is going to challenge Brandon Weeden, the other quarterbacks on this team, very heavily as soon as they can get him out on the field in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to challenge him. He's going to make him better.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me a quarterback that hasn't gotten better under North Turner.
Right.
And
right.
Alex Smith, until Jim Harbaugh came along, Alex Smith's best year came under North Turner. Now, I think this is going to be the best opportunity for Brandon Weeden to show that if he can make it or not. If he can make it, it's because you got a guy like North Turner who's going to challenge him to make himself better.
One of your colleagues, Albert Breer, talking about the top overall pick and the options that the Chiefs have there, saying that that team has narrowed it down to four guys. Now, we don't really know who they are, but we can speculate, Luke Jokel being one of them, the big offensive tackle from Texas A&M. Geno Smith's name has come up, of course, after his strong workout, West Virginia quarterback. And others have talked about maybe Eric Fisher being another of those guys, the tackle from Central Michigan, whose draft stock has been rising. But in general, what are your thoughts about that first pick and what you see the Chiefs doing with it?
Yeah, I think they're either going to go offensive line. All indications are that way, even though they franchised Brandon Albert. All indications are they're going to go offensive line. And Vic, we know Andy Reid loves to draft offensive linemen high in the draft. He does. He did it every year in Philadelphia, seemingly. And that was an issue, you know, last year. So I think it's going to be Joker with Fisher, whatever, you know, whoever they think fits what Andy Reid likes to do, is just throw the ball a lot. Or I think they're going to go defensive line. It might not be splashy, especially Kansas City, where they drafted Tyson Jackson and Glenn Dorsey, but they've got to replace Dorsey. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they look at some of those big-time defensive linemen that are down there, maybe not a Sharif Floyd type, but, you know, either a pass rusher or somebody who can be, you know, a flexible defender on that line for what they like to do. So I think offensive tackle, but it wouldn't stun me if they showed up with one of those defensive linemen.
Mike Preston, columnist for the Baltimore Sun, has been doing that a long time for that paper, writing a column, and he had a line that caught some people's attention. He said that Ed Reed, that John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Ravens, wanted Ed Reed back as much as he wants a root canal, which made me cringe because I just had visited the dentist this morning, so I didn't have that issue. But man, you know, you hear something like that and you say, wow, was it that bad? And then it of course calls to mind Michael Silver from Yahoo Sports reporting earlier that there was a near mutiny during the 2012 season with allegedly Reed and Bernard Pollard being the leaders behind this near mutiny, if that's the right way to put it, because they weren't happy with the way John Harbaugh was running practices or just his general treatment of players. But it just seems to me that it's hard to believe that an iconic guy like Ed Reed and a guy like John Harbaugh, who just seems to get it with those key players, that beyond the business of football, and that much we understand, that beyond the business of football, he wouldn't have wanted Reed on the roster.
I'm not discounting that story.
Right.
I mean, you look at just what the Ravens did. I mean, they clearly wanted to move in another direction. And had they wanted Ed Reed, they could have had him. I mean, I saw in the column where he said, look, they didn't make much of an offer to keep him, which I believe to be true. If we had Ed Reed on the show and he did not make it sound like the Ravens were tripping over themselves to try to retain him. You look at their losses, you look who they let go. They clearly wanted to go in a different direction. And I think part of that is maybe some of it was personal with Ed Reed, but I also think part of it is the fact that, hey, you know, we've got some veterans who won their second or their first Super Bowl. If we're going to keep things fresh and keep some guys incentivized and motivated, we've got to get some new bodies in here so, you know, guys don't get that Super Bowl hangover. So let's look at the moves that they made. Look at the people that they got out of the leaders, a lot of veteran guys, and Ed Reed being one of them. So that column does not surprise me whatsoever because, again, if the Ravens wanted Ed Reed, they could have had him.
All right. Where do you see it going from here with the Ravens, with all the losses that they have taken? And I know they've done some rebuilding as well along the way in free agency, bringing in Elvis Dumervil, among others. But what's the state of that team in your mind?
Well, I mean, they've got some tough issues to address. I mean, the center, that underbelly of the defense, you know, just like in baseball, teams are strong up the middle. And you lose two inside linebackers and both of your safeties, that's not easy necessarily to replace. You've lost a ton of leadership. You've lost your starting center in Matt Burke. I mean, they've got some pieces to replace. I don't think this is necessarily a team that's going to fall off, you know, the face of the earth, but they're going to have a tough time getting back to the playoffs, in my opinion, because the one loss to me that could punch them in the stomach more than any is trading away Anquan Boldin. I mean, that dude showed up. He's made players better for years. And losing that much leadership is one thing, but then losing a guy like him who really pulled that team through the postseason, I think that's a big blow. Plus, it really strengthens the San Francisco 49ers.
Steve, we always love it when you drop by and give us your knowledge. Thank you.
Absolutely, Vic, anytime.
He is Steve Weiss from NFL Network. Catch him on NFL AM. You can also catch his columns on NFL.com. Great work by him. Joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
looking for the biggest, best sandwich with a big, meaty taste, sure to bowl you over? Then, people, welcome to the beyond belief taste of a Subway Italian BMT sub. Genoa salami, spicy pepperoni, and black forest ham nestled on your choice of freshly baked bread. All this bountiful goodness filled high with your favorite veggies. The big, meaty taste of a Subway Italian BMT sub. Only at a Subway restaurant. Beautiful. Subway. Eat fresh.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Just chewing and chewing and chewing, so.
Scratching and biting.
Olive was suffering like a dog. She was itching, she was licking 24 hours a day.
I was so desperate to try and take care of Buddy, my Shih Tzu's itching problems and eczema in his ears because he keeps me up at night, constantly licking his feet and scratching his ears. I heard about Dynavite and I went to DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
A lot of the seaweed, the kelp, flaxseed oil, the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
I tried the product for approximately 1 week and saw a dramatic improvement on the eczema in his ears, and he stopped licking at night, which got both of us to sleep. So I reordered, and I couldn't be happier.
We used to call him Mr. Chew, but now we call him Kid Dinovite.
He loves the Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com. 859-428-1000. Another line for you. Sleep at night. Oh, let me do it again. Sleep at night. Get your dog some Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
All right, we'll go back to your Facebook and Twitter questions, comments, and the ones that you submit to the Browns Daily email, but I'm only going to have time for a couple here. Centauri from Twitter says, all seems right. I like this. All seems right in the world and on my timeline, knowing the Browns players are back in Berea preparing for this season. I'm with you on that, Centauri. Even though it is April, it's April. And it doesn't really feel like football. It does feel like football more so at the facility when football players are actually there. Adibo from Facebook said, we need a few players, just a few. He said, they're out there. We just need to do our homework and add them. And don't just go for splash. Like I said, a few. Not one or two, a few. Okay, he made his point there. It hasn't been about a lot of splash, except for Paul Kruger. That's splashy. that's flashy, and I think the rest of it has been methodical. I think that's the best word. And I think methodical can work. Splashy doesn't always do it. Been around this league long enough to know about splashy sometimes just gets you wet. It just doesn't do much else than that. I want to thank Tom Withers. Yeah, I coined that. Tom Withers and Steve Weish. Want to thank Drew Boatner. Want to thank Lauren Whitaker. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. Want to tell you to stay tuned for 3 Deep. That's next. And that we'll be back with you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.